The Holy Gospel according to Mark, the first chapter.
Glory to you, Lord.
Jesus and his disciples went to Capernaum, and when the Sabbath came, he entered the synagogue and taught. They were astounded at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. Just then there was in their synagogue a man with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, "What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." But Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Be silent and come out of him." And the unclean spirit, convulsing him and crying with a loud voice, came out of him. They were all amazed, and they kept on asking one another, "What is this? A new teaching with authority. He commands even the unclean spirits, and they obey him." At once, his fame began to spread throughout the surrounding region of Galilee. The Gospel of the Lord. I often invite my parents over for dinner on Monday evenings. I have time on my day off to go grocery shopping and cook, and they're happy for the chance to visit with their grand dog, Cooper. Sometimes my parents end up being guinea pigs, as they were this past Monday for a recipe I was trying out for the upcoming chili cook-off. Mom and Dad were gracious as usual, but we all agreed I needed to go back to the drawing board. The three of us ended up in front of the TV after dinner for dessert and coffee. At some point, a commercial for St. Jude Children's Research Hospital came on. If you've seen one of these commercials, you know how compelling they are. Dear, sweet children talking about what it's like to be sick. Parents testifying to the amazing care and support provided by the hospital. Over the past 60 years, St. Jude's cutting-edge research has helped to increase survival rates for childhood cancer and other life-threatening illnesses exponentially, from around 20% to 80%. What we humans know, what we humans can do these days because of scientific inquiry. Electron microscopes enable us to examine viruses a millionth of an inch long. The Hubble and Webb space telescopes enable us to see galaxies millions and millions of light years away and measure the expansion rate of the universe. And yet, when 4-year-old Skylar became sick last January, his parents didn't take him to St. Jude or to any hospital or urgent care center or doctor, for that matter. Father and mother, Joseph and Jody Wilson, decided to perform exorcisms on Skylar in their North Carolina home. Skylar did not survive those exorcisms. And the Wilsons have been charged with his murder. It's kind of hard to believe such a thing could happen in this day and age, isn't it? I mean, believing that someone's illness is caused by demon possession is from a different era, like 2,000 years plus ago, perhaps, during the time of Jesus' earthly ministry. Our story from the Gospel of Mark this morning is about something that happened early, really early, in this earthly ministry of our Lord. Matter of fact, Jesus has just barely gotten started. After being baptized, and then, as we heard last week, calling his first disciples to follow him and fish for people. These new disciples, Simon, Andrew, James, and John, travel with Jesus to Capernaum. And that it is in Capernaum that Jesus makes his teaching debut. For when the Sabbath comes, Jesus heads to the synagogue, and he doesn't do just a pretty good job. He astounds everyone. Jesus' teaching is so astounding, apparently, that nobody bothers to record what he actually says. It's kind of ironic. The Gospel of Matthew is quite diligent to record Jesus' inaugural speech, which we know as the Sermon on the Mount. We worked through a number of sections of the Sermon on the Mount last January and February, back in 2023, during the season after the Epiphany of year A of our lectionary. But for the writer of the Gospel of Mark, the content of Jesus' first public lecture is apparently less important than the crowd's reaction to it. So, we are told, everyone in the synagogue is astounded. But we are also told about another reaction, that of a man with an unclean spirit. As Jesus is teaching, the man with the unclean spirit cries out, and it's clearly a cry of fear. "What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth?" he says. "Have you come to destroy us?" The unclean spirit is right to be afraid. It knows who Jesus is. "Holy One of God," it names him, and with but a few words from Jesus, "Be silent and come out of him," the unclean spirit's fears are realized. What a scene that must have been. The man writhing on the floor of the synagogue and yelling as the unclean spirit fights a losing battle to keep its hold over him. The crowd, which had been astounded only moments ago, is now also amazed. Amazed by Jesus' authority. He commands even the unclean spirits, and they obey him. It's no wonder Jesus' fame begins to spread. I know I would have been telling this story had I been there and seen that. 2,000 years later, we are still telling this story. Our understanding of physical and mental illness has profoundly changed over the past two millennia, of course. We have all sorts of ways of explaining and treating the conditions that people back in Jesus' time ascribed to demon possession. And we don't talk about the devil or Satan the same way people once did, as the embodiment, the physical embodiment of evil. But we are still telling this story. We are still telling it because it's the good news we still need to hear. Our world may be very different than the world of 2,000 years ago, but we experience the same brokenness, the same darkness that people of Jesus' time and people since the beginning of human history have experienced hatred, oppression, violence, abuse, persecution, disease, death. These enemies are all around us and everywhere. The hope for us, the hope our gospel for today offers, is that Jesus is more powerful than the evil which tries to take hold of us and our world. Jesus is the light which darkness cannot overcome. He is the love that defeats hate, the life bursting out of a tomb. He is the promise that death does not have the last word. Here in this place, we are offered the light and love and life and promise of Jesus. In the waters of baptism, in the bread and wine of that table, in words of forgiveness, in voices raised in song, in fervent prayers spoken and unspoken, in the stories we're still telling of the Holy One of God. Jesus is here, as he was in that synagogue so many years ago, still astounding, still amazing. Thanks be to God.